Yeah, okay. Look at this.
All right, well, big news. White House officials meet later today with FIFA President Gianni Infantino ahead of Sunday's World Cup final to discuss the potential health dangers posed by wildfire smoke in the New York, New Jersey area.
No.
Why are you ruining? Why is Canada?
Let me guess, to bring it to D.C.?
Is this what they're... Is Canada upset that they didn't get the final? Are they upset that they got knocked out of the World Cup?
Do it in Azteca. I just want to go. That's all the only difference.
Now, this is obviously disappointing. Look, I mean, we'll get the wide shot in a second, but we're in the heart of New York City, and it's a little smoky.
It's a little smoky.
It was worse yesterday. It was really, really bad.
When I landed, I was coughing. I'm like, how are y'all doing this?
Yeah.
Our friend Aaron West went on a 3-mile run.
No, big mistake.
What are you doing, dude? This is not the time.
Even when the air is clear, I'm gonna look, give you side eye with three mile
what
run.
What are you doing with that 2.9 miles you don't need?
No. So we will see. We'll kind of stay on top of that. But it is kind of scary. Obviously,
for the record, what I'm hearing news wise, like weather wise, is that tomorrow night there's going to be a pretty bad rainstorm, which will knock out a lot of the smoke that's in the air. Today, a lot of it is drifted out, as you can see. It's not as smoky as it was yesterday. Wow, so
it's the first time now we want rain, okay?
Oh. Yo, the barometer is up. Relax. I don't even know what it means.
What does the barometer do? We do not know.
It keeps the final in New York. That's what it does.
But obviously, hoping for the safety in everybody in Canada.
Also, we got hydration breaks. We can't do a little fresh air break.
Should they move the final?
Of course not. That's stupid.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, the players have been complaining. The Queens Classic with Gotham and Washington Spirit, Trinity Rodman had a lot of comments. She said that the game shouldn't have even been played. She had an oxygen mask 15 minutes into the game. That's kind of crazy.
It's not going to be that bad on Sunday.
Okay. All right. The weather report from Alexis Guerreros is in.
I'm basically Sam Champion.
So you see, this is what we do. This is a show with a hot Latina to tell you.
Don't make me get on a green screen and point at the mat.
Okay. Cause he'll turn around for you.
Let me tell you something. All the cloud formations, they're going to look familiar.
welcome to the Cooligans Daily Live. We are here to preview the World Cup final this Sunday.
This is what we all were waiting for, the final. Wait,
this has been the marathon. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerreros. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, whole World Cup.
Oh, exactly. And we still got a little bit left. We got a hot show for you today, so we're excited about it.
It's back. I thought we got rid of that.
No, we got special guests. We're going to be talking about this World Cup final. We've been traveling all over. We've been hanging out with Jack Harlow and Ludacris.
Luda and a couple country artists we don't know.
But it's been incredible. But yeah, this is even just the final being sort of the fact that this is a story leading up to it is just like, you know, disappointing given how exciting the games have been.
But this is New York, bro. Pigeons are still outside and you're complaining?
Mm-hmm.
Air is there. That's their home.
Okay, but
we can't play for 90 minutes. Yeah, pigeons are outside every day, all day.
We got the final is set and we have Spain versus Argentina.
Yeah, baby.
And this is an interesting game because leading up to it, the Argentina had like a stronger start to this World Cup. Spain had the draw against.
Yeah, but if you think about it, Spain had last tournament's Argentina start. You slip up in the beginning a little bit. Sure. Everyone starts to doubt you. Next thing you know, you go on a pretty historic run.
Right.
Could this be a passing of the torch?
Well, yeah, I mean, we have...
From the people who want to be colonizers to the actual colonizers. I
mean, this is there's a lot of history and a lot of emotion attached to this. But I think it, with the photo, I don't know if we have the iconic photo, obviously, of Lionel Messi bathing Lamine Yamal.
What an insane pull that was when Lamine Yamal started kind of popping off.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody found this. It was an ad for UNICEF,
a raffle or something, and Lamine's parents won it. Yeah, he's not even he's probably what
and
2 months
you won
old, 3 months
was
old?
The right to have Lionel Messi bathe your child in a photo shoot.
Well, I'll take that now, bro. Yeah,
no. Me next, bro.
Can I get a sponge bath?
Damn, dog.
But Lionel Messi, I'll take. Clearly, his power is transferred over.
I think that's what it was.
Lamine Yamal is now wearing the shirt at the same club, the historic club that Lionel Messi played at. I mean, the torch has already been passed from the club level.
Could it be passed on the international.
On the international stage. I mean, there's an opportunity there. I mean, this is, as far as keys for this game, you know, let's talk about what Spain needs to do and what Argentina needs to do to win the game. What do you think Spain needs to do?
I mean, if you look at the game against England, right, the first goal comes from a pretty wide open shot from Enzo right in zone 14.
Mm-hmm.
The one area you kind of don't want to let a good player sit. Just above the box in that sort of what they call the D, but I hate saying that, which is what the clouds are going to look like if I ever become a weatherman. But I don't think Rodri's going to allow that to happen. I think the Spanish defensive midfield, I think their back line can do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Rodri and that back line needs to stop these players right here from being able to form any kind of attack. And also, they're not going to do what England did, which was basically go all out, park the bus. I mean, they're just not going to allow that to happen. Spain has Lamine Yamal. They could bring in Nico Williams. They have people that can scare you on a counter. I think De La Fuente is a one step ahead of what Thomas Tuchel was trying to do.
Okay.
I think he's a little bit smarter with his subs. And I don't think this is going to be a fun, easy day. If the Spanish defensive midfield, as you see here, can keep, you know, Argentina in the wings, and I understand we have a famous shot of, you know, Messi sort of still not making that be that effective.
Mm-hmm.
But can he do that again? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think the main focus that Spain need to prioritize is dominate possession. Have the ball as much as possible so that Lionel Messi does not have the ball. Right,
defense by offense,
just limit their opportunities. I mean, I think the game against France is a great example of, like, look at these incredible attacking options. Look at the pressure that France can put on teams. Look how nervous they can make them just by putting pressure up top in their final third. Look how they humiliated France. They didn't let them have the ball. They just passed around them. And it's like, it's weird to see a French team who we've seen absolutely dominate the entire World Cup look silly. Like, we didn't even think that was a possibility. And Spain were able to do that. Can they do that to in Argentina as well? I do think they can, but that has to be their main focus.
Yeah. And for me, for Argentina, I think the key for them is, you know, they seem to figure it out as sort of the match goes along, right?
Yeah.
They kind of make smart adjustments. They kind of know exactly what needs to be done next. And also, they have an intensity that sort of builds throughout the game. And I mentioned this before, but it really feels like, especially from this last match, it really feels like we cannot be the ones that let Lionel Messi down.
Yeah,
we have to do whatever the hell we can. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Lautaro Martinez jumping higher than a bunch of 6'2 guys. You know, you got everyone is doing whatever the hell they can to not be the ones that let Messi down. I think Spain need to be weary of that because I don't think Spain's faced anyone that builds intensity throughout a game, especially the way the Argentinians like to play. You know what I mean? They're going to muddy it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
For me, Argentina need to make this game as chaotic as possible.
Their plan A.
That's their plan. That's the strategy. Because you say, I mean, they want to win for Lionel Messi, but they will do whatever it takes to do that. They've already won it for him. It's kind of crazy. I was saying before the World Cup, I'm like, do they still have that same motivation? Yes, they do.
Yeah, apparently they do.
They're
very much, you know, Argentina's plan is very much like toxic ex-girlfriend who's like, let me fight with him because we haven't fought in a while. I want to see if he still loves me.
Okay.
That's how that's their minute one.
It's a good move. Who needs to score first?
I think this is kind of a pointless question because it's who scores last.
Okay. Who makes the last penalty? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who's gonna score last? I think if Spain scores first, I don't think that deters Argentina from their game plan. But I still think maybe Spain has to score one just to put additional pressure on Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like ratchet it up real high early on.
I mean, I would say Argentina have been in that position plenty of times. As far as like for them to win, I think Argentina needs to score first. Because I think Spain have definitively not been in that situation. They've only given up one goal, mm-hmm. and that was an equalizer. So they haven't been in a position where they were actually down in a game. And how that is going to affect, they haven't even felt how that feels emotionally and psychologically to be in that situation. So I think if Argentina can rattle them a little bit, and then look,
I don't think one goal is enough. If the question was, who needs to score two goals first, then I agree with you. You know what I mean?
I mean, just you see the confidence and poise that Spain play with. But if they give up a goal, like it's going to clearly affect, I would assume it's going to affect them a little bit. So mm-hmm. I think that's the only advantage Argentina could have, because I do think Spain tactically is a better team. And I think they, if they, I think if Spain score first, they win. And I think if Argentina score first, they win.
I've, you know, in thinking about what does Argentina need to do to get past the Spanish defending, right?
Yeah.
And again, it's not just the back line. It's Rodri, it's everybody else. There's a clip from the Argentina versus England game. I don't know if you saw this. It's the second hydration break. It's Paredes talking to Scaloni. Mm-hmm. And Paredes is complaining. He's like, bro, if I try to, I can't. They're bringing another nine up.
I did see this, yeah.
I can't go to that side. And Scaloni's like, no. The guy central, he's like, yeah, but I'm on this side. I'm not able to advance the ball because he's coming up this way. And he's like, so what do you need? He's like, if I had another central midfielder that was sort of taking up space, I would have that ability to run in that area. And he was like, all right, fine, done. That, to me, is what I think Argentina needs to do. Mm. Have five hydration breaks.
He's like, you know what? We're taking off Messi. We're going to do what Paredes says.
Why didn't we listen to Paredes from the beginning? No, I honestly, what I think is, I think what that showed me is there's more to football than having the omnipotent manager say, I'm the guy that makes all the decisions.
Sure, yeah.
Even though it's going to lay at your feet. Scaloni, I think what he's done is, because he got the job in such an odd way, very similar to the way Gareth Southgate got the job, which was like nobody else wanted it, so he took it. And obviously, you win the World Cup, it's now your job until you don't want it anymore. But what I find is that he's able to go to these players and say, all right, feel free to tell me what it is, what in-game adjustments you need, and I'll do what I can. It's very much by committee, but he's the final decision maker. I think there's something special about that. Maybe that's what they need to do, is listen to the players. You know, as a coach, you sort of have a bad angle. I prefer to watch the game from above, but that's because I also, you know, watch it on TV and I play video games, right?
Yeah.
They obviously understand how to watch it from that sideline. But when you're in the game, you have the best view of all, especially if you're Paredes, where you sit. You have the most view of all, other than maybe the goalkeeper. So if you go up to the coach.
I would argue the ref cam has the best view.
I mean, thank you. Many more okay. of those. Can we get that for all the police officers?
But well, I think, well, that's our next guest.
Well, actually, we might be able to help. I think if you... If the players have that relationship with Scaloni, I think that may be. I don't know that De La Fuente has that with the Spain players, or at least haven't seen any evidence of that. Spent so much time in the gym, bro. He's swole. You yeah, know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think that even you know, like credit to Scaloni, the what was it? The way he was, they were after the England, or I think even, it might have been before the game against England. They were asking him about like Falklands and a lot of the political, sort of connotations around the game. And I thought he handled it fantastically. He was just like repeating over and over. This is just about football. This is just about football. Like not putting the players in any, you know, compromising position, even though they did hold that banner about the Falklands. It was like a whole thing.
Yeah, but he's like, I'm not going to give you bulletin board material.
He's just like, I'm not trying to get involved. So look, they deflect.
He's slowly covering his tattoo.
they deflect incredibly well. But yeah, as far as who's winning it all.
Bro. Spain.
I think Spain.
It's hard for me to say. It's very even, but I think Spain, they've only given up one goal all tournament.
Yeah, it's hard to go against them. I think with the
that's who's gonna score last, yeah.
The miracles that Argentina keep producing. I'm just gonna go with Argentina, man. I don't know what I doubted them many times.
I also would not be surprised
against Cape Verde, against Egypt. Like mid game, I'm like, there's no way they can come back from this. Even down 1-0 against England, I'm like, England seemed to be having this in control.
Even at halftime, you thought England would still win.
I did think that. Yeah. And you know, they scored the goal, and for whatever reason, they completely
they're like, let's stop playing football, dog.
Yeah. Did you see that the Cesc Fabregas clip that kept
of course
that came back up about him saying that as soon
changes
as
the player's mentality
as,
on the pitch.
Yeah, as soon as you take off an offensive player for a defender, the player psychologically, and you can tell them like, hey, control the game, but they listen to the coach. They connect emotionally with the coach is worried that we're going to concede, so let's not concede. And you will concede if that's
like
how you're trying to play.
If a dog barks at like Asian people, that means the owner hates Asian people. You know what I mean?
That's it. Settled.
That's how it works. Like the dog senses the nerves, right?
Sure.
That's exactly what the players are doing. They sense like he's worried. I'm not going to be the one that makes a mistake. I'm going to also bunker down.
Okay. All right.
It's a weird analogy.
I got to be careful who my dog barks at. Everybody.
Yes, you do. Me, by the way.
we got a special guest coming up right after this. Everybody, come right back. okay, we already, Ben's going in the chat. FIFA just ruled the loser of the third place game must face Blangola in a neutral site.
We have a guest who has no idea what we're talking about.
We have no time to explain Blangola, but it's a whole thing.
Start the game at the 75th minute with Spain up 1-0 and let the let the fireworks start.
Sure, sure. I think our next guest can set that up. We are honored,
knows people.
To be joined by the New York World Cup czar, by Mayor Mamdani. This is super cool. We're joined by Maya Honda. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is.
Did you always dream of being a czar?
I never dreamed of being a czar. And unfortunately, I think I could never stop being a czar now.
Sure. Yeah.
You've seen it. You've seen the view.
Changed very quickly for me.
But you will always be referred to your highest position. So correct. Yeah, so it's always going to be the czar next to Mayor Mamdani. Mm-hmm. And like, who's really running things?
That's
here?
That's why people still call me McDonald's Employee of the Month, Alexis Guerrero. It's crazy. I was trying to figure that out. I'm like, how do you guys know this? It's your highest position.
So, Maya Honda, you were appointed as the World Cup czar, and from I learned that you had met Mayor Mamdani in a rec league. Was it NYC Footy? Or a different one?
I believe it was NYC Footy, okay. But I was a sub.
Really?
Most Brooklyn thing happened to me that could ever happen to you, which is someone slid into your Twitter DM saying, I need an extra girl for my rec soccer match.
And you were like, yeah, right. No. We've tried this before.
No, this is a fellas. Massive problem. Yeah,
no. You actually talk about this all
the
time.
I've been in this situation plenty of times. I'm like, I'm literally just asking you to play. Yeah. I swear I have no other intentions.
No, but for those who are watching, I am available after the World Cup is over. Okay. I'm dying to play. I've not been able to
play. Be a sub.
To be a sub.
Be respectful. respect our czar.
Please.
But I mean, when this opportunity presented itself, what was, did it feel surreal? I mean, or were you locked in and ready to do this?
Ooh, so it was so much. So I'll say this. I managed the mayor's campaign. I was very fortunate to have that opportunity. And in many ways, politics is kind of like sports, right? Where else do you find yourself 5 minutes later? You didn't know anything about this guy, and all of a sudden you know his high school girlfriend, what position he plays on the field, his, you know, nagging injuries, like whatever, 5 minutes later. And it's kind of the same thing because it's also about creating the sense of community. And so I don't work in sports, like I'm a soccer fan and a player, but it was same thing of like building that momentum, building that movement. And we saw the World Cup as a campaign to bring New York together to make us have the most incredible summer of our lives.
Now, look, I look at the sport of soccer as like it's for everybody, right? This is for a community. Not everybody sees it that way, including some of the governing bodies. But you guys have done an incredible thing. We were there at the announcement of the 1,000 tickets, plus the bus ride back and forth, which was huge, for $50 for 1,000 New Yorkers. Getting something like that over the line. Can you walk us through that?
Yeah.
How many documents had to be shredded? Tell us the truth.
Nothing in writing.
But it must have been, that was such a momentous announcement for New Yorkers. And we got to speak to some of the people who won those tickets. What a huge moment. I mean, we're looking at it now. This is incredible.
Yes. It was one of the greatest things I've been a part of, honestly. And I have to say, I have to give all credit to the mayor. From day one, he said, we have to get people in the stadium. We have to get New Yorkers in the stadium. We met with the FIFA president, Gianni Infantino, and the mayor spoke about South Africa, you know, in 2010 and his feeling in the stadium and just the elation, the despair after, Suarez. We all remember this. My dad is Ghanaian, so it's deeply personal to me. Right. But like,
I'm happy you're going. He didn't cheat, but go ahead.
It was like New Yorkers need to feel both things that I felt, all things that I felt. And actually, and so then it was amazing, right? We were just like, this is how we have to make it happen. We went back and forth. The FIFA host committee was actually amazing. They really helped us out. And then we were talking to this woman, Madeline, who took her dad, Sheikh, and she took him to the Senegal loss. And I was like, we got it. We did it. Someone felt the joy and then the despair. Yeah.
Despair is part of the game.
Have succeeded.
Yeah. You can't enjoy the sun unless it rains, right?
That's
football.
What we can promise is you can be in the stadium. We can't promise anything.
I mean, the nature of...
Really? You're not going to call to get red cards removed? That's crazy.
I'm just kidding.
You know, you're now the cooligans are.
You know what?
I like you a lot. So
they call,
let me know. Just let me know.
Just left a voicemail.
Hey.
But the nature, especially in that moment when those tickets were announced, there was just a lot of obviously contention with FIFA, and then the Balogun situation did not help with all of that. But when, I mean, as much as you can say, the was how combative was it? How difficult is it to convince FIFA of anything? Because it's for a lot of fans, it seems like this is just a kind of staunch organization that refuses to adopt, like, you know, other people's ideas.
Yeah. I mean, look, what I'll say is the dream was affordable tickets across the board. And, you know, I'll acknowledge that we couldn't achieve that. But we were very lucky. The FIFA host committee on the ground, that's people like us. They come from New York. They understand the joy of getting New Yorkers in seats. And so they were amazing to work with. And I really want to give them that credit of, we said, that's our dream. That's our vision, that affordability. And they said, how can we help make it happen? So
By the way, we've worked with the New York, New Jersey host committee. They are incredible.
Yeah. They're great.
Shouts to everybody there. What's up, Carly? They're absolutely great.
We love Carly.
Yes, Carly's the best. I do want to ask a question though, because I've said this on the show. We've hosted this show since 2015. We've been around for a long time. And I've been saying this. I am half Uruguayan. I grew up without my father, but the little bit I know about that country is 3.5 million people. And at the time during that game when they were playing facing Ghana, they were number 9 in the world. 3.5 million people. We're right now sitting in the center of a city that has 8.5 million people that sleep here at night. That's not even the amount of people that take those trains to come in here, that consider themselves New Yorkers, that are part of the greater metro area, which I believe is roughly over 20 million people. How the hell is the U.S. men's national team and the U.S. women's national team not filled with New Yorkers? How is this city not a football factory when it's walkable? We have space to play. We have everything that the Europeans and the South Americans have.
Yeah. I mean, this is the great tragedy, right? It's the pay to play. And we know it, right? In every other country in this world, soccer is free. You can literally just, all you need is a ball, get out on the street. And in America, we have somehow made a way of capitalizing on it somehow. And people suffer from that. And then they turn to other sports, which are cheaper to play. And it's our job to figure out a way to change that. We genuinely believe that this should be the soccer capital of the world. Honestly, we should have a ton of different players on the U.S. men's and national women's team. New Jersey, at times, has more players than we do. I do want to give a shout out to Tim Weah, Mark McKenzie, and a couple of others.
Of course.
Matt Fries, who plays at NYCFC. Yeah. They're amazing. They represented us incredibly well. But, you know, the sky's the limit here, and we haven't done enough. So,
yeah, I mean,
is there a way to maybe do that after the World Cup? Could that be maybe a function of your job? Are you staying on after the World Cup?
I'm taking a nap after the World Cup.
You're not, you're telling
me. The withdrawal of not having a game every day, and then I'm passing out.
Okay. Well, so. we actually just got Alexi Lalas to call in and yell at us about this pay-to-play.
All right.
So one of the other aspects.
Alexi from the RNC.
One of the other aspects of your role that's been awesome is just seeing all the, not only like the games and travel and housing us up, but all the community events, the fan fest, the pickup games. So how awesome. I mean, I also played in NYC footy. I still play in NYC footy at Brooklyn Bridge Park. I'm like, have I played against you? I'm like, maybe at Governor's Cup or something.
Surely, yes.
Some of the bruises that look like studs,
bro. I think my 2-footed me one day. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Likely.
But that part of it, the 24/7 pickup games, like all these aspects, it's just so awesome to see because I'm obviously close with Tarek from NYC Footy and you know, getting the lights turned on in these fields. So can you talk a little bit about your role in that and just getting more soccer being played in the city?
I mean, the thing is, it's about watching, but it's also about playing. And we know that the first step towards being champions is, you know, those opportunities for people to play. And one of the things we said is, what is radically increasing accessibility look like? So I think the fields are a good example. So is the watch parties at Rikers, right? We said everybody deserves to watch. Everybody deserves to play. The 24/7 fields were amazing, right? It was a little bit of a risk. If we keep the lights on all night, one field in each borough, who will show up at 4 a.m. to play soccer? I was a little bit like, okay, you know, don't tell anybody in case they're empty all night.
Yeah.
And literally we have 50 people playing at 4 a.m. We have people getting off work at 3 and coming to play. We have people traveling across the city to play. And it's just like, oh yeah, this is the point. This is what it's all about.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out ways to keep it going because we knew there would be demand. We did not realize the scope of the demand.
That's crucial. I mean,
that brings me to my next point. Actually,
I want to mention real quick, the watch party at Rikers. I just saw the videos of that. And I think what the mayor and what you're doing is so, like, I'm Dominican, grew up in Brooklyn. Soccer wasn't exactly the thing I grew up. I was sort of around it, but until Colombians introduced it to me, I didn't really start
beautiful
playing.
Cultural exchange.
It's like the most New York statement. So, I'm a Dominican from Brooklyn, but Colombians introduced me to soccer.
The unity that soccer brings is, I mean, the closest thing I think we've ever had in New York is the Knicks winning, right? Of like everybody,
what an
incredible summer,
truly getting together. But soccer can do that pretty much every single day. But the watch party at Rikers, I'm like, I'm watching this clip on Instagram and I'm like in tears. You see how meaningful it is to the prisoners and just to human beings, like how just getting an opportunity to watch that game. So, I mean, even putting something like that together, what was that like?
I mean, I'll say this. We wrote radically increasing accessibility on the whiteboard. And every day my whole team just said, what's the next thing we can do? And we said to ourselves, everyone loves this game. It should be for everyone. And Mariam from my team was amazing. We hosted 20 watch parties on Rikers for people incarcerated there. 4,500 people have gone to a watch party. And we were like, there needs to be food catered. This needs to be like a full thing, right? It's not just like, oh, we get the screen, we get the projector, which by the way, then now they can keep into the future, hopefully for future watch parties next year, who knows.
Yes, but the inmates had to be on like good behavior, right? They had to like do certain things to like be able to get to qualify for it, which I think is like a positive.
I mean, yeah, I'm not sure the details of that. We kind of left that up to them, but we were like, as many people as possible need to watch the game. And I'll tell you, I went, the mayor went, we sat at those tables and we were just talking about soccer.
Yeah.
That was the thing where we were like, this brings people together in such a huge way. We were talking about Messi. We were talking about the Cape Verde crazy game. Yeah. It was just incredible. It was incredible. But
it's nice to see people that are incarcerated get moments of like
pride. It's going
to
be so popping. People are going to be like, yo, how do I get tickets to Rikers?
Yeah.
To
do I got to break a window?
How do I get access? I don't want
to. Buddy, steal a car. Apparently it's catered. Please don't do that. I do have a point to make. Maya's like, why did I do this show? I do have a question about, you know, hosting. We've taken part in 24-hour games in 30 Rock when it was New York City FC hosted, and to see the pickup game and how much, you know, New York City is like, I think, like a sample size of the world, right? What's the, like, when you dial 311, the amount of dialects just in Queens is like, this is crazy. Press 755 if you speak this. You know, it's like, everyone is here. Why don't we do a New York Cup? Why don't we get the boroughs playing each other?
Hey.
Stay tuned.
I'm just got ideas. That's all I got.
This is how.
It's a brainstorming meeting, okay. But I think maybe these ideas have come up.
I'm taking this directly to the mayor. Okay.
Remember that thing we've spoken about a million times? Alexis also thinks it's a good idea.
He probably has a lot on his to-do list, but clear the schedule. We're talking about the New York City.
No,
think about it.
But it's, no, it's, you're fantastic. Right. You're right. But it's fantastic how.
Also, the kits would go crazy. All five boroughs with those kits. Sure. The kits you guys made are insane, by the way.
I mean, I hosted the Cost of Living Classic, and even those kits were there. You got the new ones that I saw. I'm like, all right, I got it. Where do I get those?
I didn't get them, bro. I'm so upset. They're going for a lot on the resale.
But I love the fact that the mayor is using this sport to connect with New Yorkers and of different cultures and different backgrounds. But when it comes to kind of benefiting New Yorkers economically, and this World Cup has been obviously a major factor, but what other kind of initiatives are that when it comes to that kind of benefit?
So I'll say this. We know there's a lot happening in the world right now, and we said New York needs to be a leader, and we need to show that we are welcoming the world, and this is a place where everyone belongs. Our immigrant diaspora communities, people from across the world, they need to be welcome in New York City. And that was non-negotiable from day one. We were like, we're going to be loud. We're going to be a leader about this. And that felt really important to us. And so we were very excited. We did this cultural passport that had all of our ethnic enclaves. It had, you know, you could get stamps at libraries, small businesses. And the idea is go out to the five boroughs. We had these collectible commemorative cups with our branding. Mm-hmm. Everything was designed. Go see our small businesses. Go get a drink somewhere. Go to Staten Island. Go to the Bronx. Don't just sit around, you know, Times Square, Rock Center, amazing spots. But like, go out into the five boroughs. And that was the goal. And we really accomplished that. I'll bring in one stat, and I'm sorry to do it, and it's not a soccer stat. 9 in 10 restaurants and bars said they saw increased sales this summer from the World Cup. And that's what we're aiming for. Beautiful. Every New Yorker needs to benefit from this, watching, playing, and your small businesses.
Yeah, right. Hospitality is such a massive part of the city, so it's great to see that gets benefited. Yeah, I went to the, the Museum of Natural History. And they had the flip cards and all the stuff that, like, the coupons and stuff that you can do all around the city. It's a beautiful thing.
That's the fun part of the World Cup is like your little thing that suddenly now you're like, I'm an adult. Why do I need to collect things?
Yeah.
I'm trying not to collect things, but somehow I have my passport and my stickers and my whatever. And like, that's the fun of it, right?
And none of us got room in our apartment. You know how big that is?
We really do not have room in our apartments.
So the final is on Sunday at New York, New Jersey Stadium. As far as we were talking a little bit about the smoke. I'm hoping it all goes forward, and you know, it obviously kind of sucks. But when it comes to preparing for this final, what are you going to be doing on the day? And then what are the kind of like what do you want the city to sort of look like?
Oof. I mean, we want everybody out.
Yeah.
Like, this is for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's going to be incredible. There's a Central Park watch party, 50,000 people. We think the largest watch party in the world. So sign up for the lottery. Maybe too late, but everyone should be out to that. Go out to the restaurants and bars. The point is making the friends. It's, you know, having that experience. And that's what we want the city to look like. And for preparedness, I have to shout out every worker at the city. We have our union hospitality workers, everyone that's made this possible. It's an incredible amount of work to make it go smoothly. And that's behind the scenes.
Okay. That's a beautiful thing. Yeah. What's going to happen after the final, man? We've had Mamdani, the positive vibes of Mamdani becoming mayor. Then the Knicks. You know, Arsenal, for those of us yes. that are Arsenal fans, we yes. had that, right? And I think that was a huge moment for New York because New York has a lot of Arsenal fans in it. And then all of a sudden the World Cup comes and we got every nation here partying, having a great time. All the vibes are positive. This can't end.
Let's keep it going. And, you know, the answer to that question is Gotham FC. They're moving to Etihad Stadium. I couldn't be more excited. I was a season ticket holder when they were sky blue. Playing at Rutgers. I was mm-hmm. sitting on bleachers as a season ticket holder. Average attendance, 1,000.
Right.
Literally.
Totally could hear her.
Lloyd.
No, but for real.
It was like, I know this lady.
That's a Jersey girl.
Here.
That's a Jersey girl.
Yeah.
No, and I saw them and I was like, oh, they're so good. This could be so much more. And I'm so proud of them. I'm so happy for them. And literally it will be in Queens and those tickets are affordable. NYCFC, Gotham FC, we have the quality. They're national champions, right?
Yeah.
So that's where it goes. That's where it continues.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, I've gotten to we've been to Gotham City Games for years and Sky Blue and befriended some of the players and
interviewed most of them.
Interviewed most of them, and I got to be at the when they won in San Diego for the championship. So like. I also want to give a lot of love to those OGs in South Jersey that have been with the team.
Because
I know it's difficult to have a team move.
We welcome them. We need them here too.
Exactly. Well,
hold on. Where were you going to when you were going to Rutgers? Where'd you coming from?
Brooklyn.
Yeah. So then, I mean,
if
you could go that way, a few of y'all could go the other way.
this has been an absolute honor for us, and it's great. Look, you know, we've spoken to the mayor a few times, and it's easy to be inspired by his work, your work, and you know, whatever we can do to help grow soccer in this city, we're willing to do as well. So,
and it's amazing how much y'all done. It feels like y'all done enough for a book, but y'all just started. Isn't that crazy?
More to come. Okay. But we appreciate you. It's for the fans.
Let's go. Nice. My Honda World Cup Czar, World Cup final in New York, New Jersey Stadium this weekend. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Cheers. All right. We'll be back with more, everybody.
Welcome back, baby.
Let's go. Well, all right. Shout out to my Honda. All right. Here we go. We got some comments. And every gambler that's saucing up parlays should rewatch Telemundo hydration breaks of previous Spain and Argentina matches. Mm-hmm. That's the move, bro. Okay. Trump called in another favor so that the final could be held on the White House lawn and also rename it Trump's FIFA World Cup final. Okay.
Can I be honest with you? Would not even be slightly surprised. It's in the Rose Garden. Alexis, VP of the Fashion Club Guerrero. Yeah, we got some real
OGs. We got OGs, bro. Let's go. Investment in organizations like South Bronx United and Manhattan FC help build the pathway of pickup culture that address this problem.
Shouts to South Bronx United, who's also a food pantry. I mean, it's so much for the community.
Yeah, we've worked with them. They're awesome. It says we maybe will see another unbeatable Spanish team in the 2020s generation, like 2008 to 2012. Yeah, obviously they won.
The Euros, World Cup Euros.
And they could possibly.
Without a striker.
They could
New York City Vibes Cup 2027. Opening ceremonies would be lit. Each borough's kit by a different company. Nike, Adidas, Puma, etc. Is what I'm saying.
Mm.
Yo, are you kidding me?
We're sending this to the World Cup Czar. Don't worry about it. Shout out to my congressman's campaign manager for stealing my idea I had back in April for accessibility so that kids could watch World Cup matches. What do you mean? All right, you're stealing?
By the way, this is like the most positive version of stealing. Okay. Because kids got to watch the game.
He's like, that's my intellectual property. Again, all right, we have another guest joining us senior... betting correspondent.
This is the betting czar.
We got Ben Fox to help us preview this World Cup final and let you know what you should be focusing on when it comes to some of your bets. Ben, how you doing, man?
Good, fellas. How are we doing? I'm sorry not in the studio with you. You know, I love that. I love that studio. That's setup,
right.
But Come I can't on, come in man. Every day.
You should be hanging out with us.
You know, I'm not. I don't have the work ethic like you guys. Can I say?
Okay. Now we're gonna force Yahoo to change the work policy, the work from home policy. So I'm gonna make you come in. Don't worry about it, buddy.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
Ben. Okay. So both teams are plus money to win it all. But let's just start there. Who do you think is winning this?
Yeah, so listen, my job is always to educate as well, right? So I think in soccer, it's always important. There's what we call the three-way money line, and you got your two-way money line, which is the same as to lift the trophy, right? So that's the same as you think of the NBA, right? One team to win or the other team to win. In soccer, that three-way money line, you said, there also is the draw, right? So that what you're betting on if you have that plus money for either team is Spain to win or Argentina to win within 90 minutes plus the injury time. But if the game ends 0-0, and let's say one team, Spain, ends up winning in extra time, or Spain wins on PKs, and you bet Spain on that three-way money line, you don't win the game. So the draw is the win for that. So just that's just to clarify why both of those are plus money in terms of the actual to lift the trophy. Spain is the favorite, about minus 160 or so. Argentina, the underdog, plus 125. It's going to be, look, we can replay this probably on Sunday afternoon and I'll look like an idiot. It's very difficult to bet against Messi. I do think Spain is just a better team, has been a better team throughout this tournament. I think they're the rightful favorites. I do think that they win. So I would take them on that three-way money line. I'd sprinkle some on them to lift the trophy as well. I just think that they get it done. They're the better overall team than Argentina. And that defense has just been so good throughout the tournament.
Yeah, and speaking of, maybe you don't think Argentina can win, but there's some good money on them scoring over 1.5. And even though Spain's only allowed one goal of the tournament, I believe over 1.5 goals for Argentina is plus 230. Should I do it?
Listen, I'm only going to give my advice. You're going to do what you want to do regardless, right? I think when looking up the numbers this morning, I didn't even realize how good Spain's defense had been. And just looking at kind of those expected goals, not only have they only allowed that one goal, they've only allowed 2.1 expected goals throughout the tournament, right? So they only, based on that, should have allowed one more goal. Now we're asking Argentina to basically score two in one match, which is part of the reason you have those odds. Argentina as well in that metric is 16th, Spain first. So again, another reason why I like Spain. I think this is more like a 1-0, 2-0 Spain win. Argentina just, they have been playing that way, right? Where they've been not messing around, but they've been falling behind and they've been able to come back against certain teams. Spain is not that team you want to fall behind, because unlike England, who might park the bus, let's say with 20, 25 minutes left in the match, Spain is just going to be able to keep the ball away from you. And so I think that's the danger potentially for Argentina, is if you do fall down 1-0, let's say in the 20th minute, 30th, 40th minute, do you have enough to come back against a team like Spain? This isn't one of those other teams that Spain's been able to do that earlier in the tournament against.
Yeah. And I just want to confirm, that's two goals in the 90 minutes, right? It's not extra time. It's nothing. It's in the 90 minutes in regular time.
I believe so. I would have to check the bet. But either way, okay. Do you think they're scoring two goals against that defense? They might.
They might. Double red cards is the only way.
Argentina are the only team that I think could. And I honestly think they will. I think the game is going to be quite chaotic. Argentina manages.
Maybe we should put 50 on it. Just see what happens.
Okay. Well, thank you, Alexis.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said we.
It's like the things that are normally supposed to happen in a football match just don't happen when Argentina is playing. That's why I think there's a high probability. But Lionel Messi has a lot of, there's a lot of Messi-related bets. What are your kind of ones you're looking at or favorites to take?
Yeah, look, a lot of different ways you can go. It's difficult to watch a match with Messi and not have, some small amount of money on him. He's just so amazing to watch, especially at this age. And they're just, he has the magic dust sprinkled on him this tournament, right? There's no other way around it. It's not luck, it's skill. Like, he just gets it done. Not necessarily looking for him to score in this match. There's one bet that I like. It is 2+, so at least 2 shots on target. That's only minus 115. So if he scores a goal, that does count. If it's a save, etc. So just has to get 2. I think it's hard to believe as good as he is and as much focus as they'll be on Messi, he's not going to get at least two shots on goal. Whether or not he scores or not, it's a different question. But I think that's a little of a little way to hedge your bet a little bit, whether or not he scores, just that, hey, he's going to get a couple of shots on goal, shots on target.
Yeah. That's a fantastic. I mean, I would take that every day.
Yeah. We're losing our houses because of you. You're playing some good bets.
Now, remember, if it goes over the bar or something, that's not a shot on goal, right? So it can miss on goal by that much. Yeah. That's not
even
a
the
shot
post.
On goal.
It can't hit the post.
Sure. Oh, yeah, it's Lionel Messi. He might also miss a penalty where the keeper stops it. That's
the point.
That one counts.
Why is that his one weakness?
Too soon.
Yeah. I want to talk about the striker, in quotes, on the other team, on Spain. Mikel Oyarzabal, he's at plus 165, which is just behind the 155 of Messi to score. Would you take him or someone else on Spain to score? And I feel like this is the guy that no one trusts to score, and then he scores.
Yeah, and remember, part of the reason is it's just the bet to score, right? It doesn't matter where he scores from, and it seems like, as we saw the last game, he's the penalty taker, right? And so that's why you're also going to have better odds, because if anybody generates a penalty and he's the guy you want to take it, then he's going to have a better shot versus anyone else. I actually like Lamine Yamal. I was surprised. He's at plus 230. I think this is a case where he's depressed in terms of value because he scored one goal, right? And so people who've been betting it, you know, have not done well game after game, but he's still the most talented player on, whether they're the most talented team, second most, whatever Spain is. It's hard to believe he's going to be that quiet in a World Cup final. We saw what both Messi did 4 years ago and Mbappe 4 years ago in the final. I just think stars show up in the biggest moments. It's hard to believe he's going to be completely shut out. And I think at that price, at plus 230, that's where I would look. I think you're getting a very good number based off of how the rest of his tournament has gone. But he's still, right, he seems healthy. They're getting him involved. He just has always had seemingly like two or three guys, you know, somebody on him on the ball, somebody backing up, almost like a wide receiver when you're shading like a safety to him.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Teams have just been like, you are not scoring, and he has, you know, distributed. I just think he gets it done potentially in this game. I like that at that price.
The Lamine is the Megatron of world football. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm with you. Shut down, bro. Market.
Ben Fox, senior betting correspondent here at Yahoo. Thank you so much for joining us, brother. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Anytime, guys.
All right. Cheers. All right. Let's look ahead, let's look back, actually.
Yeah, look ahead. No, let's talk about what happened,
baby. At the World Cup. This is, it's exciting. It's bittersweet. This is our last World Cup preview.
And I've been running and gunning, man.
It's been a lot.
It's been a lot.
Okay.
But this is fun. This is what it was all about. And now looking back at it, I'm starting to miss it already.
It's weird. When it started, it's going to be like, you know, it felt like a mountain that we were climbing. And then the fact that we're almost at the peak of Mount Everest.
Like you order a whole pie for yourself and you think, I can't eat all it. Who put all this pepperoni on it?
My analogies are more athletic and exercise than Alexis's.
No, I'm like, I ate the whole pizza.
I'm gonna get to the mountaintop and eat a whole pizza.
I'd get to the mountaintop. That was the big. What are we talking about? Favorite goal?
Yeah, let's start with a couple, a few superlatives. A favorite goal. What's your favorite goal?
For me, it was Cape Verde, the Cabral goal versus Argentina.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what a moment to put yourself, not just in the shop window, but in the international conversation about best goals of the tournament. That is insane for a guy like this who, you know, yeah, they were really good during qualifying. And if it wasn't a 48-nation World Cup, they may have still qualified. But bringing in smaller nations, getting these smaller nations to take more of a focus on the sport, find those citizens that can be a part of it, that live elsewhere, you know, the expats. This is what it's all about, man, is coming together and doing something that completely changes the trajectory of your nation. That was it.
That was great. The only like little, and maybe I'm just, you know, poo-pooing it a little bit, but the celebration, this game, that was the equalizer, 2-2. One of the greatest World Cup goals I've ever seen. The celebration, running up into the stands, celebrating with his lady, the whole thing. It's just like, and then you give up the goal a couple minutes later.
Hey.
So I'm just like,
that had nothing to do with you.
I'm like, maybe he shouldn't have done all that. I mean, it's still an incredible goal, but like, you got to focus on the game. I can't believe they could have gone to penalty, could have taken out Argentina.
That highlight Bosnia, will be played everywhere in Cape Verde.
I will play it. Yeah. I understand. But I'm just like,
you guys don't know.
The celebration might have been a little bit much. My favorite goal.
That'd be downer over here.
I probably would have picked that as my favorite goal. But I guess my second favorite goal. Isidor, the goal
against Morocco.
Against Morocco. Haiti. This goal was.
Look at the body. How do you even get your body in that shape?
If
my body's in that shape, I fell off a motorcycle.
Haiti had a rough go at this World Cup, but this goal,
was it
I thought
first goal scored.
It might have been the first or second. I don't remember offhand, but. The way Haiti was, it's a World Cup. It's obviously difficult, right? But for them to have this moment, I thought was just fantastic. It highlighted the quality that these players have. A ton of pride, I think, for the country. But a fantastic goal for me. So let's move on. Favorite upset?
For me, this is my favorite upset, only because it was an upset for all of you, not me, because I called it from the beginning. Norway over Brazil. I said it. I said Brazil were trash. They were not playing well. When we went to Foxborough and saw them against France in that sort of warm-up game, mm-hmm. I said, bro, this midfield does not know what they're doing. Vinny was able to got them through a couple games. The fact that Neymar couldn't play, you see him here, how gutted he was. But I said it, man, Norway were good. And I just knew that the way they were playing, they'd be able to overtake a few of the teams that were second-guessing them, thinking all we have to do is get Erling Haaland out of the way. That, to me, proved to everyone that Norway are a team to reckon with moving forward in this tournament.
Yeah, they were about 70,000 Brazilians there that were very upset about that game. We were there. My favorite upset, which it wasn't a loss for a team, but the draw, the Cabo Verde draw against Spain to start them in the group stage. I think it set a precedent of like, yo, Cabo Verde is not going to be some quote unquote small nation just happy to be here at this World Cup. Just getting that point, I think changed Vozinha's life. We're looking at him right now. Changed his life. Changed the life of a lot of these players and put a real respect. I think that point, getting that point against Spain, is now why we're having the conversations of like, maybe there should be 64 teams at this World Cup. And some people are not happy with those conversations.
You said that, me.
I don't necessarily love it, but you got to give credit where credit's due. I think that was an incredible result and a huge upset for Spain. Okay.
It's like an emerging star. I'll give you mine.
Go for it.
When I think about all of the new names that we now know that are now on the top of mind, I think when I think of this country and I think of what the sport means and what I hope that this tournament does in this country, I think of the story of the guy who said, hey, my kids are big baseball fans, big mm-hmm. NFL fans. They've never once cared about soccer. And for the last week, they've been in the backyard running around with a soccer ball pretending to be Phelan Balogun. And mm-hmm. look, what happened towards the end of his tournament is not his fault. He doesn't make the decision on whether he starts or whether his red card is rescinded or not. But his name, everybody now knows his name. And he played to a level. He went out and built himself into an undeniable first choice striker for the U.S. men's national team. And this guy's got superstar written all over him.
Yeah, he's probably getting a huge move somewhere very, very soon.
Sports. He just Lush joined. Sports.
Yeah, yeah.
He's hanging out with LeBron. You're not doing that.
All right, so you got good people in his corner. I think that's a great choice. I'm going to go with the Moroccan, Ismail Saibari, who scored fantastic goals at this World Cup. And really, I mean, this is the World Cup is the opportunity to, get the casuals watching you like, who's this guy? Who's this guy? I think he did just really, really well for himself I think he's getting a huge move or already completed one. I don't know. But I thought he was fantastic. He's going to Bayern.
Wow.
So, yeah. So he's going to be in a fantastic position going forward. And you do. This is what exactly World Cups are for. He got three goals. He was just...
He looked unstoppable.
Yeah, yeah. He just had some fantastic game. But Saibari was fantastic. Let's move on. Also, just a reminder for people watching on YouTube in the chat, if you have any thoughts on any of these superlatives, please let us know. If you disagree, agree, or if you have some other choices. All right. Fading star.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Okay, right to it.
It's proven at this point, right? All the fears that I had about this guy being the starting striker, we're all justified. He's passed it. Everyone's like, he's not getting great passes. Bro, Thierry Henry broke down how he's not making the right runs. He's not putting himself in the right position. He couldn't do it when the lights were brightest. He was just a little too old. You're putting too much Botox in your forehead, dog. You got no emotions in your face. This is ridiculous. At this point, it's an ego play. And honestly, it's no different than what's happening in the White House. It's disgusting.
Okay, look at this.
Everybody's got to placate you.
Anyway, I think that's an easy choice because this is his last World Cup and whatever. I do share in some agreement that his teammates were also bad, right? Bruno was bad. Vitinha was bad. Like they had other issues.
But it seemed pretty good when Ronaldo wasn't on the
bench. I think it's the main factor was like they did not trust him. They did not trust to pass the ball to him. And I could, that's my guess. I'm speculating, but that's just what it felt like watching
stuff
that team.
To play in the World Cup down.
My fading star is actually going to be Christian Pulisic. I think he had a pretty abysmal World Cup. Not all of it his fault, injuries and stuff like that. But even when he was on the pitch, he had the opportunity to kind of change things in the game against Belgium and couldn't do anything. Gave the ball away 11 times. I hope he can turn things around. It sort of pains me to say that this is he might be a fading star when, you know, I remember him in tears in Cuba, in Trinidad and Tobago, and in tears for missing the World Cup and getting to it in 22, and everything he's done for his in his club career, but it's been when the opportunity is there at World Cups, he just hasn't really done much.
Those 45 minutes against Paraguay were great.
My concern is that this might be the best we've seen of him at World Cups.
I hope not. I hope you're right and there's a way out of this. Biggest controversy for me, I'm going to say that the England, the ball hitting the Skycam wire.
The biggest controversy?
Yeah, and the reason why is because BBC had, shouts to Adam Clear who posted this. We all saw this, right? We all saw the sort of crazy zoom, but BBC apparently has access to the ball, to the tracker in the ball, and they have these 3D.
They have the 3D.
Adam Cleary pointed this out. If you look at it, it bounces off of something in the sky.
But FIFA posted the little meter, and it didn't show any movement.
Wait a minute, are you suggesting that something FIFA posted might not be factual? I just think they wanted out of it, and that's why we're seeing nothing in the sensor. But if you look at that, they have the same attachment to the same sensors. There's a bounce on that wire. Nope. Maybe that doesn't change anything, but to me, that's the biggest controversy because then everyone's saying it's rigged for Messi. All of a sudden, England, the sensor didn't pick up anything at all when there's clearly a bounce. I don't know.
Okay, there it is. For me, the second yellow to Mbolo
from
Switzerland.
Red card, right? I left it open for you to say.
Oh, okay, yeah. That second yellow got him sent off.
Red card thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's also there. But yeah. I think for me, as far as from a sporting perspective, the fact that VAR is involved in giving out yellow cards is just, you know, it's we shouldn't have it. To me, that's the controversy here. Like, we don't need referees in VAR involved in yellow cards. It's just it messes the game up too much. It's re-refereeing. We don't need it. If Paredes gets that yellow and it sucks that he got it, even though he didn't deserve it, it's still, we still have 11 on 11. And I think it kind of ruins the game to have yellow cards be involved. All right.
I think more of the issue there was the fact that they had to give the card to somebody, which I think is stupid. But why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? And then when we come back, we'll finish up the spoilers.
Okay. We have time? I think we do. Yeah. Let's go. All right.
Trust me, I heard them when you're talking.
All right. Well, quick break.
We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to the Cooligans. All you gamblers should spice up your two ways or three ways with an over on corner kicks. Dito Sequina.
All right. Damn.
All right. You're trying to get some thruple action going on in the gambling.
Argentina is going to win yet again. Spain hasn't faced an aggressive team that plays well at the same time. They had a tough time against Cabo Verde and Uruguay. I did say this. I said that on the last show as well. You know ball, bro. This Argentina is like a combination of those two styles, except they do both much better. And obviously, the X factor is Messi. Yeah, it's not going to be a kind of walk in the park for Spain at all.
I would not be surprised at either team winning right here. Okay. Where did Argentina play well? England, English gave them the game. Come on.
Don't do that. I mean, they also did it against Egypt. They did it. Yeah. No, I mean, it is what it is. So they find a way. Spain will smoke them if they don't stop playing.
I can see that, too.
Yeah. Look, they keep, again, we know that what that midfield can do. And then if they just control the game and control possession, Argentina are going to have a tough time.
Worst goal celebration of the World Cup was covering your ears in garbage time while also announcing that your wife is pregnant. If you know, you know.
Who was Oh, that's Gio. Was it? Hilarious. Okay.
And that made me believe that moment.
All right.
We got a couple more superlatives left. Why don't we go with biggest controversy? No, wait, biggest what ifs.
What ifs.
Want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. This is, for me, the biggest what if. What if Pochettino has some balls and didn't start Balogun, huh?
Yeah.
You can't decide what the politicians do, but doesn't mean you have to follow suit.
Yeah. I mean, we saw what Balogun, he was on, I believe, CBS Morning News or CBS Morning America. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, but he was on the show and he told Gail King that after the news about his suspension getting rescinded, he said that he found that we were all kind of nervous, and which I said, I don't want to do the I told you so.
I still don't think that affected them in the game.
But he's saying it.
He didn't say in the game. He said that he looked around and he said he could tell that people were nervous. I think more of the reception of what it means. Once you're in the game, you're in the game. That's not going to cause the mistakes that happen. I don't know.
Shut off being a human being just because you're in a game.
Yeah, it's not the first time they've been nervous.
I'm just saying. So,
but I still don't believe that had anything to do with it. But I do believe that, one, we wouldn't be the most hated team outside of England and Argentina. And the vibes wouldn't have been completely changed. You should have just put your foot down.
There's something.
And said, man, if you got a red card, you didn't deserve it. But you know what? These are the breaks. This is what we play with. You're not a new coach, Pochettino.
Yeah, this is, to me, a supreme, like, ball don't lie moment.
It's an aura moment, bro.
It's like, that's it. It
and
sucks.
You lost all the aura.
It sucks that he got the red, and it's not fair, and it's not justified, but he did. There's a certain, we all have a respect to the game.
It's a gentleman's
and its
agreement,
rules.
Bro.
And it would have, we said it even before the game, before the lineup came out. We're like, it would be kind of dope if Pochettino sat him.
Emma Hayes doesn't start a player that has a red. It's in the same situation.
Okay,
right, I'm sure of it with my heart and soul. I don't think Emma Hayes
Trump's getting
it.
Involved in the U.S. women's red card dispute.
Well, it turns out it wasn't Trump. Trump
it was,
involved,
yes.
But it was somebody else in the thing, and Trump was like, well, this makes me look good. I'll do it.
It was like a Saudi official involved in the disciplinary
committee.
And
apparently no one else in FIFA even knew about it. The whole thing is...
It's bad. It's not
you
good.
You think it's rigged for Messi. Turns out it was rigged for U.S. and we couldn't even get out of the round of 16.
My biggest what if is really what happened the other day, England against Argentina. What if Thomas Tuchel does not play cautiously? I mean, look at also the other English pundits. They all cannot believe it that he chose to play this way. Mm-hmm. There's something. I had just seen a clip of Paul Scholes talking about that whenever he played for England, he said, I never felt in control. When I played for Manchester United, we would dominate teams. We always felt in control. But there was just something. When you wear the English shirt, you just lose a little bit of that composure. And Tuchel put his players in a really bad spot. The substitutions, that's it.
Players it was out of position. It was
completely,
such a,
completely wrong. And
the worst than that is at the end, he said, well, I got no regrets.
Yeah. It's like,
this is the tale of the tape. We talked about it. By the way, everyone else is using this now. We were the first ones. We have the American accents, and no one respects us on that side of the pond. But they're all doing the same thing we're doing, which is look at this.
The first, like, after you score the goal, and once you see Argentina turning things up, those first 10 minutes, you still have time to be like, okay, this isn't working. Like, we can't be in this position for the next 30 minutes.
There's the subs come before the two, like, low-hanging booby-looking things. You know what I mean? Like, okay. That little upside-down mountain.
Yeah.
That's the first part of the momentum shift after the subs where you're like, huh.
Yeah, this cannot, it's crazy that it went on for so long. They scored in the 85th, but the 20 minutes before that, the 25 minutes before that, you have... options.
How about this? Since after the goal, after the subs, they made two successful passes.
I did see that.
The rest of the game.
That's unreal.
Two successful passes.
you can't fix
it. I can't believe. By the way, Tuchel got signed for 4 more years. Did you know that?
He did?
Yeah.
Damn, bro.
Crazy. Okay. All right, what do we have left?
Biggest coaching disaster.
I was Tuchel versus Argentina. We just talked about
that. And then I said Didier Deschamps against Spain. Just another situation of like, you sort of see what's happening and you don't make changes quick enough. I understand, like, it wasn't like Spain was scoring like super early and dominating. I mean, they scored a bunch of goals early and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But to bring in the subs sort of like a little too late, really not creating any chances. Like the fact, the one example when the last time they played France versus Spain, it was like 5-4. But Spain was winning like 4-0 or something like that. But who came into that game? Ryan Cherki. Mm-hmm. Ryan Cherki was a huge difference and why they scored. Ended
he
up
disrupts
scoring,
everything.
Why they ended up scoring those four goals. He was taking chances. He was...
bringing the ball forward.
He was the ball forward. Just like just making things difficult team, for Spain. And the fact of like not even starting him when this is who you saw how successful he was at time. Just a poor decision that led to... I think they all... France went into this like we're steamrolling all these teams. Spain is not going to be any different. They're not going to give us that much more trouble. And the fact to not adapt earlier, maybe not even bring him on at halftime when you knew what he did in the last game, huge mistake.
So, yeah, there was too much talent on the French bench. All right, let's go with the villain of the tournament. Now, I already knew what you were going to say.
Yeah,
I answered first, so I'll go first.
Yeah,
get mine out of the way. FIFA. I think. Look, at the end of the day, look. You put on a great tournament, right? We're going to look back at the scenes and we're going to look back at everything. It's great. But it's all the stuff that we stop talking about the moment the ball gets kicked for the first match that is absolutely disturbing. The amount of the price of the tickets, and we're hearing that the New York, New Jersey committee tried to meet with FIFA and get them to lower the ticket prices. They refused. They wanted to do dynamic pricing. It was the way that municipalities weren't getting enough funding, the way all this stuff, the way it all played out beforehand, the way it seemed like FIFA muscled their way into just a cash cow and using the fact that Americans are paid a lot, even though it costs a lot to live here, and using that to your benefit. And, you know, I met so many people who traveled. These two guys, a father and son, paid $4,000 to go to that England game in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is insane the way that these people are just like giving you their money because they want to be a part of this moment. And all you're doing is just cash machine rolling. And then the way that that red card was rescinded for the U.S. after one phone call, that sits on your lap as well, FIFA. And I think questions have to be answered. And I think people have to be brought to the carpet. And I think a lot of people need to give a reason as to why things turned out the way they did. And maybe some money has to be, I don't know how this is going to work, but maybe the Federation's got a little bit of the money back or something, because this just seemed like a jug. It's the only way I could look at it. It's like, sure, y'all hit a lick in America. It's exactly what you did.
Yeah. I mean, and just to add on that, my biggest villain of this World Cup is President Donald Trump. I mean, this has just been not only just for the red card and rescinding the suspension and just using this sport to, launder his image. I mean, it's like, look, there's a billion things you can hate about Trump, but he's, for the most part, before this World Cup, was never really involved in this game, never really cared or talked about it during Nations League or all the other stuff. But the fact that Infantino and FIFA just bent the knee, did everything that they wanted, and still didn't really...
They got on their knees.
Sure.
It's
so frustrating and disappointing. The way the Iranian team was treated, the way just all the Arabic nations or Muslim nations, that the way they were treated in the United States is so gross. And the
how unbecoming of the Peace Prize winner.
I know. And then the Peace Prize, of course. It's like... We see the sham for what it is. It is kind of ridiculous. All the kind of smoke and mirrors around, like, are we supposed to pretend that this is a good person involved in the game? Like, we obviously know that's not the case. But you understand the political side of it. Like, you almost feels like it's business. But the fact of him being like, yes, I called FIFA and got that red card, you know, rescinded. And how do you suspend the player for a game that they, it's just like, bro, get out of the game. We don't need you here. There's a lot of stuff we do. We don't need
nobody
you involved.
Nobody likes
in.
You here.
Yeah, it's so except that that, that part of it is ridiculous. All right,
for one guy who only played well against Paris.
Let's wrap up with some comments, everybody. Let's see what you guys are saying.
If they couldn't play 100% because of the Balogun controversy, then they weren't ready to beat a team like Belgium anyway. Yeah, I really truly don't believe that was part of it. I know you do, and I want to respect that, but I really don't. I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Okay, I don't think the England team is hated. did. Tuchel, on the other hand, I knew that Drip would show his true colors of entry. Is that
a Drip is a like a dummy.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. It's new. It's a new one. I'm like, well, did I say a slur? I don't know.
You probably did. P. Morton, please talk to just one Irish person. Is all I want you to know. Villain of the tournament, Father Time versus Tim Ream.
Okay. Always after Tim Ream, bro.
All right. I stopped saying it and then it showed up.
Okay. So this has been our final Cooligans Daily Live here at Noon
Eastern. We got one more reaction show.
We have one more reaction show after the World Cup final. So join us. Make sure you subscribe on the Cooligans YouTube. Make sure you follow across Yahoo Sports channels because we'll be on there as well.
Right after the final, baby.
Yeah, Spain versus Argentina.
It was like 2 minutes to get from the venue to the studio.
The start time will be, you know, we have to host a watch party.
It's Latino people time.
But we'll be on shortly after the final whistle. So make sure you hit the bell on YouTube and subscribe to the Cooligans YouTube channel. So you can join us after that with all your comments and questions. And we'll have...
He's like the LeBron James of soccer. Right.
We got the final.
I don't know where it is, but applause for Maya Honda, everybody. Thank you so much for
coming
out.
Thank you so much for Maya Honda. Welcome, Zara. We appreciate it. And shout out to Ben Fox as well for joining us throughout this entire World Cup cycle. So, all right, we will see you on Sunday after the final Cooligans Daily Live in the books. Thank you so much for hanging out with us and spending your early afternoons with us. But we'll see you right after the World Cup final. Thank you, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.